Amen. Well, listen, tonight, I know I don't get up here often, so you may not know a whole lot about Pastor Joe, but if I was to be honest with you tonight, I'd have to say that I am particularly competitive. I am a competitive person. In fact, I play to win. Anytime I play to win, whether it's card game, whether it's Modern Warfare 3, whether it's, I already got a hoo right there, whether it's soccer, regardless of what it is, Pastor Joe's competitive, I play to win. That's why I drive a fast car, and let me promise you, I will beat you if I catch you on the freeway, as long as we stay under the speed limit. I'm a competitive person, and so maybe I don't know exactly why that is. Now, how many guys out there are competitive people? You play to win. All right, you can put your hands down. How many of you out there, you just play to have fun? See, I don't play with people like that. I beat people like that. No, anyways, I don't know why I'm a competitive person. Maybe it's because of the family I was raised in. But anyways, Pastor Joe, I've played soccer now for over 20 years. Dang, Pastor Joe, you old. I never thought the day would come. Anyways, I've played soccer for over 20 years now, and learned a lot about the sport, enjoy the sport, still play to this day. But one of the things that I noticed that coaches, you know, I've played many a different season, been on many a different team. Some of the teams did real good. Some of the teams lost every game of the season. Been there, done that. But one of the things I noticed about the coaches is that I'd hear them say this phrase from season to season, from coach to coach. And before we get out on the field at the beginning of the game, or maybe it was even at halftime before we went into the last half of the game, they gather all of us together, all the boys together, and they say, listen, gentlemen, leave it on the field. Leave it on the field. Amen. Leave it on the field. And basically what they were telling us to do is, you know what, guys, here is the objective right now. You're about to get on the soccer field right now, and you're about to play this game. And you know what? I don't want you to have anything else in your mind but then to give 100% of yourself. To give 100%. Give all that you got. Listen, don't walk off the field. When the final whistle blows, don't walk off the field saying, I wish I would have gave a little bit more. I wish I would have given my all. Had I given my all, the outcome of the game could have been different. Could have been different. And let's be clear, guys. Tonight, it's not about whether or not you make mistakes. Any good player knows that when you get out on the soccer field, mistakes are going to be made. You're going to mess up some passes. You're gonna lose the ball. You maybe be one-on-one with the goalie, the crowd holding their breath, ready for you to shoot it, and you, boom, field goal. Field goals are not good in soccer. Mistakes are going to be made. Let's just be honest. Any good player knows refs are going to make bad calls. Refs are going to, man, I just got foul, ref. Didn't you see that? Come on. Refs are going to make bad calls. There's going to be smack talk from the other team. There's going to be some cheap shots. Some grabbing some shirts. Sorry, man. I hope I didn't. Grab it. But you know what, guys? It's not about any of those things. It's about whether or not you give 100%. You give 100%. See, listen, guys, tonight, many an underdog. There have been many teams, underdogs. The crowd rooting for the other team. Teams unskilled. Teams less of lesser rank come and win the game because, you know what? They came out and they gave it their all. Tonight, if we can do that for a soccer game. Tonight, if we could do that for Modern Warfare 3. Tonight, if we can leave it on the field when it comes to finding a boyfriend. Okay, not for you, Andrew, but not finding a girlfriend, that's for you, Andrew. if we can fight tooth and nail, fight to the death for some of the things that we fight for, can we not do it for Jesus Christ? I should have got a big amen right there. Thank you, thank you. Can we not do it for the one who gave his everything for you and I? To see you and I headed for heaven. To see your life and my life changed forever. Can we not leave it all on the field of life for for Jesus Christ. If you're taking notes, the title of the message obviously was put up there, but it's Leave It on the Field. And today I want to talk to you about leaving it all on the field of life for Jesus Christ. Because just as the soccer game example, just like once the final whistle is blown, listen, it doesn't even matter if you lost the game. What's worse is if you walk off the field, if I had only done more. If I had only given 100%. See, it's those players that walk off ashamed. Today, the bottom line is, you guys, we will all cross the finish line of life. Each and every one of us will stand before our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What will history record of you? What will the pages of heaven record of your life? And when that day comes and you stand before God, will you say in your heart, I wish I would have given it all. I wish I would have given 100%. I don't think any of us here want that. So today, if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy, I didn't mean to look at you right then. But I did, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I love the words of Paul here. I love what he says. I think that, they speak volumes to me, and I hope today that they speak volumes to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says this. He says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. He says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What you may or may not know about Paul right here in 2 Timothy, and maybe this is something that you can learn today new about your Bible, but this is actually the last book that Paul the Apostle writes. Right here at this place and time in his life, Paul the Apostle has been jailed for the final time by the Romans. He's writing this to Timothy from a jail cell in Rome. He's about to be sentenced, and we know, according to history, what happens not too long after this, but Paul loses his head. Stop. What you may or may not know about Paul is Paul lived a pretty horrific life. Paul was snake bitten. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was whipped with the cat of nine tails. How many of you guys know what the cat of nine tails is? It was a leather whip with glass and nails and just all kind of nasty things so that when they hit you, it sank in real good. And you know what happens when they, if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, they give you a good example when they hit the table, the wooden table in it. Yeah, Paul was whipped. Paul was stoned. Paul was beaten with rods. Does anybody here happen to know why they beat people with rods? If you were in my sermon before, don't say anything. Does anybody here happen to know why they beat people with rods back in the day? Why? You don't know. Okay, but that's stoning. That's not beating with rods. Anyways, the reason why back in the day they beat you with rods was because when they beat you, not only did it hurt, but it bruised your bones. It bruised your bones. Now, has anybody here ever had their bones bruised? It's not like, yeah, it lasts for like a month, maybe more. You just ache in pain. So they beat him with rods. I mean, this guy went through you know where and back. And you know what? He writes these two verses here in this book, and he says, you know what, Timothy, I fought the good fight. Timothy, it didn't matter if they stoned me. Timothy, it didn't matter if they threw me out of the town. Timothy, it didn't matter if they hated me. It didn't matter what people said about me, what people did to me. Timothy, it didn't matter if I was shipwrecked, snake bitten, beaten with rods, whipped, stoned. Timothy, I still fought the good fight. Timothy, I still ran and finished my race. Timothy, I kept the faith, the same faith that I got from Jesus Christ when I finally met up with him. Timothy, I kept it. I didn't let it slip. In essence, what he's saying, Timothy, I didn't let these things set me aside. I gave it all. I gave it all. Just like on a soccer field, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody next to me kicks me. It doesn't matter if somebody pulls my shirt. It doesn't matter if I messed up a pass, if the ref made a call that I didn't call. I can't afford to give up. I can't afford to cave in, and I can't afford to quit. And you know, so often today I find Christians and they've got excuses why. You know, Pastor Joe, you just don't know. You never been there. You don't know what my mom said to me. You don't know what my dad did to me. You don't know what they said about me in school. You don't know what my teachers think. You don't know how bad it's been here and how bad it's been there. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I may not know, but God does. And so have people walked in your same place. People like Paul who have been through you know where and back. And he didn't give up, and he didn't cave in, and he didn't quit. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. Today, I want to tell you, young people, you've got the grace of God available to you. You've got the grace of God today literally reaching out for you. And you know what? Regardless of what has happened in life, what happened yesterday, what happened a year ago, listen, if you will refuse to give up, if you will refuse to cave in, if you will refuse to quit and give it your all, I'm here to tell you today that the grace of God will help you to win every single time in life. Thank you for those few amens. And most importantly, when you cross the finish line of life and you stand before Jesus, you can say, I left it all on the field. You can receive the rewards that God had for you, that God wants for each and every one of you today to receive. You know, like I prayed earlier, God, yes, he loves us all together. Jesus came and he died for the world, but he loves you individually as well. He knows you all by name. He knows the hairs that are on each and every one of your head. He knew how many you had this morning, and then after you took a shower and you lost some, he still knew how many you had, because that's how much he loves you. And you know what? I want you guys to know that he's got your name written down, and he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of your lives. You guys know the verse, "For I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope." He knows that for you individually, and he has certain rewards, the Bible says, eternal rewards that he wants you to receive when this life is said and done. When it's said and done. But will you give it your all? Today, what are you fighting for? Ask yourself. Be honest with yourself. Well, Pastor Joe, I don't really like this message. I don't really like you. Hey, Do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor. Forget about Pastor Joe. Forget about the do yourself. What are you fighting for today? What is it that consumes your thought life? What is it that demands your attention that you can't even pay attention in class? You can't pay attention during the service. See, it's not a matter of whether or not you guys have passion. Every one of us have passion, but what are you spending it on? What are you leaving it on the field? What kind of field are you leaving it all? Letting it all down for? Is it for a boyfriend? Is it for a girlfriend? For your first kiss? Today, let's leave it on the field of life for Jesus. I got 3 points for you guys today, 3 quick points that will help us leave it on the field of life. Do you want to find out what those 3 points are? Amen. Amen. Point number one today. If you're going to leave it on the field, you're going to have to keep first things first. Don't hate. You're going to have to keep first things first. Some of the guys who come to junior high, they're laughing at me because they remember some of these points. But you know what? Again, you like chicken once, you'll like it again. And God has been speaking this to me the last couple of weeks. I've been meditating on it. But you've got to keep, if you're going to leave it on the field of life for Jesus, you're going to have to keep first things first. You're going to have to keep your priorities right. All right, now I need some of your guys' help. If you were to sum up life's priorities, how would they go? What would be the order? What should be a person's first priority in life? Jesus! A++. All right, here we go. All right, it's going to get a little bit harder. Number two. Oh, dang, you guys are cell phones. You know you didn't mean that. I will pray for you later if you meant that. No, I'm just kidding, Jackie. Yes. What did you guys say? Family, that's right. God first, family second. All right, it's going to get a little bit harder. What comes number three? Dang, you guys are on it. School, yeah. Okay, so normally we would say your job, but you get, probably most of you in here do not have jobs. I had one junior high person tell me, I don't have a job, Pastor Joe. I can't make any money. I said, you just get those good grades. They will turn into lots of money one day. Amen. All right, all right. All right, a little bit harder. What's number four? Cell phones. You got it right this time. Yeah, so number, so you got God, you got your family, you got your job, school, ministry, whatever it is, all right? And then you've got your hobbies and so on and so forth. Now, you can dissect that a whole lot more, but we're just kind of grouping them all together tonight. But anytime any of those priorities get out of line, they want to go straight for the top. Let me show you what I mean. Jackie obviously got them out of order by saying cell phones all four times. See, it's kind of, okay, Jesus was first, but then, all right, cell phone. Cell phone should be last. It's kind of like this. This is exactly what I mean. See, you come home from school one day, and you know you got some homework to do, but your girlfriend call. So you want to talk. Okay, not necessarily. Anyways, your friend. How about we just say that so we can apply it to everybody across the board? Your friend calls, so you want to talk. All right? You got 2 hours before you need to, you know you should go to bed, because if you go beyond that time, you're going to wake up and you're going to be a zombie the next day. You're not going to want to go to school. You're going to fall asleep in class, and it's just not going to be worth it. 2 hours! So you're on the cell phone talking with your friend. You look at the time. Oh my gosh. All right, I'm going to get off the phone right after I tell him this story. I forgot to tell him this story. So you talk another half an hour. Half an hour goes by, you look at the clock. Oh my gosh, I haven't done my homework. All of a sudden they start talking about something, you keep on talking. Next thing you know, the 2 hours has gone by, 2.5, 3 hours. Oh my gosh, I gotta get off the phone. So you get off the phone. I don't have any time for my homework. So you go to bed, wake up the next day, and what happens? You end up in a roadside ditch. No, I'm just kidding. Have you guys seen those commercials where, you guys know what I'm talking about? The commercial where you get a bill from your cable network, and then the guy gets mad, so he goes to blow some steam at the racquetball place. Then he gets hurt. He gets popped in the eye. Then he goes to the doctor. The doctor says, you need an eye patch. He gets an eye patch. People notice the eye patch. Then they think he's tough. They want to see how tough, and you end up in a roadside ditch. Don't end up in a roadside ditch. What is a roadside ditch? I'll explain that later. No, the point is your priorities got out of line. The cell phone got out of its proper place, and it went straight for the top. It went above doing homework. It went above your family, because you know your parents would want you to do your homework. In fact, it even went a bit above God, because God would have you to do your homework. So notice, it got out of line, and it went straight for the top. You guys follow me today? It's kind of like this. Paul said this. He said, I have finished the race. So he likened life as to a race. Now let's pretend for a moment. How many of you guys have ever watched the Olympics? All right, let's try this. How many of you guys run track and field have ever ran track and field? How about this? How many of you have ever run a race in your life? Whether you raced your mom, your dad, your cousin, your auntie, your uncle. All right, everybody here has raced, all right? Let's pretend for a moment that it's the championship race, all right? We got a championship race going on. Your favorite runner is in this championship race. There are 8 runners, all right? The announcer gets on the mic and he says, I'd just like to welcome everybody to the championship race. I'd like to first, before we begin, I'd like to introduce the runners who will be running this race, who are fortunate enough to make it to the championship race. Runner number 1 coming out of the gate. Out comes runner number 1, 2, number 3, number 4. Your runner, your favorite runner, is runner number 5, all right? So here comes all the runners that are coming out. They got their high water shorts on. You know how runners do. You would never wear those shorts anywhere else except to a race. But the reason why they run it, so they get that stride going, no hindrance, all right? They get that long stride going, right? All right, and so they all come. They got the lightweight shoes on, the shoes with the little spikes on the bottom. All right, they got it. They got it all going on. They're stretching. They got their neck going like this. Their little T-shirt, and out comes runner number 5, your favorite runner, and it comes on out, and he's got some skinny jeans on, wearing some Toms, sagging his skinny jeans just right, See, in my day and age, when I was your age, it was baggy jeans, and we sagged baggy jeans. Now it's skinny jeans, and you sag skinny jeans. All right, but he's come out. He's got his skinny jeans on. He's sagging them just right to look tight. He's got his Toms on. He's got his hoodie on. He's coming out, walking all cool. All of a sudden, he turns, and he's getting ready to stretch out. Next thing you know, you're kind of looking like, what is going on with this guy? What, I mean, is he? Surely he's going to take that stuff off and get ready to run. He turns, he gets ready to stretch. All of a sudden, you notice he's got an iPod headphone in his ear. Got the wire coming down. He's got an iPod somewhere. Somewhere. He turns the other way, kind of looks over this way. Is that a Bluetooth? Just in case his girlfriend call. And as he walks out, he's got his backpack in his hand. Backpack he straps on his back just before they're going to start the race. What's in the backpack? Towels, deodorant, some cologne. In case when he wins the race and they want to interview him, he looked tight, he smelled good, he's got it all going on. What? No, the TV can't, but the speakers can. What if they're like, we just want to ask you a question? No, see, he's worried about looking cool for everybody. He's worried about how he's got his priorities all out of line. See, there's one thing that he should be interested in. There's one priority. He's not kept first things first. Now, how many of you guys think tonight that guy would win the race? No, he wouldn't win the race. No, he wouldn't. No, he's not going to win the race. He's not keeping first things first. At the very least, you could say he's not going to be able to leave it all on the field. He's not going to be able to give it 100%. Let's say he was good enough to beat all the other runners, but he's not going to get his best time. Skinny jeans, sagging them just right, Toms. Uh-uh. Today, if you're going to leave it on the field of life for Jesus, you're going to have to keep first things first. You're going to have to keep your priorities in line. I like what Paul says in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, if you brought your Bibles. Turn with me there. Acts chapter 20. We're going to read verse number 24. Paul, again, facing some of the things that he faced, about to be put in jail, about to face some tribulation. Holy Spirit had told him what he was going to face. He says this in verse number 24. He says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." I love what he says so much here, because he says, you know what? I kept first things first. Listen, the Holy Spirit told me I knew going forward. I knew people were going to kick me out. People were going to hate me. I was going to be stoned. But you know what? I kept my priorities in line. Regardless of what happened, regardless of the surrounding circumstance, you know what? I kept first things first. And what comes first, even before my life, even before my comfort, even before, is that I finish my race with joy. Is that I finish my race with joy. How many of us today, we've let some things little, some things bigger than little, but we've let things, the circumstances of life, set us aside from running the race that God's called us to, run. What somebody said about us, what our friend said. Listen, guys, keep first things first. Don't be distracted by boyfriends and girlfriends and Modern Warfare 3 and how many times you can prestige. And keep first things first. Why? So that you can leave it all on the field of life for Jesus. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about leaving it all on the field of life. Number two, if you're going to leave it all on the field, number two, you're going to have to. You can put it up, Adam. You're going to have to adjust your focus. You're going to have to adjust your focus. You're going to have to see, when a runner runs a race, he's got his eye on one thing, and that's crossing that finish line. Today, when it comes to your Christian walk, you're going to have to keep your eye on one thing, crossing the finish line. Like we said earlier, hey, what is history going to record of your life? If you don't keep that at the forefront of your mind, and it's not that we think about it night and day, but ultimately, if you don't keep that in the forefront of their mind, hey, what is Jesus going to say about me when this is all said and done? Then ultimately, you're going to end up being distracted. Ultimately, your focus is going to get off, and anybody knows that a runner who doesn't have his focus right ain't going to win the race. A person who doesn't have his focus right, a runner who's not focused on his race, is going to be distracted. He's going to be distracted by the crowd talking trash, talking smack. What's going on? If he doesn't keep his focus right. Hey, listen, really, point number two and point number one go hand in hand. If you're going to keep first things first, you're going to have your focus in the right place. Your focus. What is my focus on? Now, today, to kind of help you understand this point, I have a friend who's here today. And like I said earlier, Pastor Joe is a competitive person. So we got talking, me and this friend, and we decided to race. His name is Vico. How many guys know who Vico is? Me and Vico decided to race. We raced outside in the courtyard here in front of everybody. Well, not everybody. How many guys got to see it? Well, you're going to get to see it tonight, Vico, if you come up here. Vico, I'm calling you out. Oh, I'm wearing dress shoes. He's already pulling the excuses. All right. So technically, this is how the race went. I think we raced, what, three times or four times? Three times. He beat me the first two. I beat him the last time. Because Pastor Joe said, finally, all right, enough is enough. I'm taking my keys out of my pocket. I'm taking my phone off. I'm taking my shoes off. It's on. All right. So we kind of have this thing going on. All right. So Vico, so I'm calling you out. We're going to race in front of everybody right here, right now. You want to do it? Just for fun. All right, all right. So this way, I'm going to need one volunteer to stand over on this side to give us the go. All right? Oh, let's see. Look at him. Look at him. See, a real runner knows he's got to be prepared if he's going to leave it on the field. Because right now, he's doing this in front of his friends. He's doing this in front of his family. And this is going to be talked about for years to come. No, I don't know about years. All right, so... All right, Nikki. Lauren, you want to do it? No, you're going to cheat for Vico. I'm not going to have you do it. No. All right. We'll have Nikki. I call Nikki. All right. Nikki, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand back just a little bit further. Vico and I are going to... Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He's asking me, are you serious? All right, now how many of you guys think Vico's going to win? How many think Pastor Joe's going to win? You voted for the right person because, see, Vico, this is my message. This is my example. So this race is going to have to go my way. So there's a couple stipulations to this race. Nikki, this is what I want you to do. You're going to hold your hands in the air. And you're not going to count to three. You're not going to say ready, set. You're not going to do anything but go.
Go!
And you're going to hold your hands out so that we can tag your hands, all right? Don't move, though. You got to stand. That's fine right there. All right. We're talking about keeping your focus right, all right? So because you're a runner who doesn't have his focus, well, obviously you do, but for my example, your focus is not in the right place. So because you love all of your fans and your focus is on them, what I want you to do... Now you guys have to judge for me because I'm gonna be focused, all right? Vico, on the other hand, because he loves you so much, he's gonna blow you a kiss to each section, all right? Any runner who loves their fans and wants to blow a good kiss has to turn and look at them, each section individually, with two hands. One, two. Three, four. All right. You can do that. Oh my gosh. You do got fans. All right. Are you ready? All right.
Do you want me to try?
Yes, I want you to try, but you have to also try to. You have to look at them No, don't. Yeah, you look at them. Yeah, you have to double-handed, and you have to blow each section a kiss. All right? All right, are you ready? No, I'll hold my mic.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, you got your hands up? All right, all you're going to say is you're going to drop your hands and say go at the same time. You got that?
Have we forgotten exactly where we are?
So the point being is, hold on, I'll give you a chance for real. The point being is, if you got your focus off, you're not going to leave it all on the field. It's an impossibility. You guys follow me today? You got your focus has to be on the finish line. All right, now, thank you, Vico. You did a wonderful job. Everybody give Vico a round of applause. No. All right, so we're going to let you run for real. All right? We're going to let you run for real. Don't blow no kisses. You just beat me, all right? I'll put down the mic for this one. Thank you, my brother. Give Vico one more round of applause. Hey, I will say this. He is at a disadvantage. He's got his saggy pants on a little bit. He's got shirt socks on. I've got shoes. And I know Vico can beat me because he did before pretty decisively. Actually, the truth of the last race was I raced him twice. Then he raced Albert twice. And then he raced me. And that's why I won. So I just got lucky there. But how many of you would say that Vico had a fair chance that first round, blowing kisses to everyone? No, he didn't. I'm all, no, he didn't. Anyways, you're going to have to adjust your focus. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. We're talking about leaving it on the field for Jesus Christ. We're talking about giving it our all to know him. Did you know that Jesus wants you to know him like you know your best friend, like you know your mom, like you know those closest to you? God designed for you and I to know him. Are you leaving it on the field? Are you giving it your all? Are you giving it 100% tonight to know him? Are you giving it 100% to see God's will done in your life tonight? Tonight, are you giving 100% to advance the kingdom of God, to tell somebody in this lost and dying world about Jesus Christ? Your friends who you show up every day to school. What's up, homie? What's up? Whatever you do, are you giving 100%? Are you giving 100%? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This is what it says. It says, if then you were raised with Christ. Hey, just in case you didn't know, if you're born again today, that's talking about you. If then you were raised with Christ, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What is he talking about? He's talking about setting your focus in the right place. How many of you here have ever watched the show called Hoarders? And they... Dang, that show makes me, like, depressed. After I'm done watching it, I'm like, this did me no good whatsoever. Never mind. I just want to go cry or something in the corner. I don't know. But listen, I just want everybody to know here tonight, Pastor Joe is a heaven hoarder. The Bible says to store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Oh, in order to do that, your focus has got to be up where God is, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So listen, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Hey, it's not that a boyfriend or girlfriend is so bad, or that God doesn't want you to have that or play Modern Warfare 3. Pastor Joe plays Modern Warfare 3. You can get my gamer tag after service. No, I'm just kidding. But where is my focus? What is my number one priority? It shouldn't be on Modern Warfare 3. It should be on Jesus Christ. Finally, number three today, our last point. If you're going to leave it all on the field, if you're going to give God 100%, If you want history to record of your life, what God wants it to record from your life. You've got to, number one, keep first things first. Number two, adjust your focus. And number three, know that it will be worth it all. Hey, listen tonight, guys, let's just be honest. Life is not always perfect. Life does not always turn out the way you want it to turn out. People will talk bad about you. You will be cheated. You will be stabbed in the back. I'm reminded of a young girl who went to a school by the name of Columbine. Loved Jesus Christ. Showed up to school just like she did every other day. That same day, some shooters showed up to school as well, pointed a gun at her head and asked her if she still wanted to claim Jesus Christ. And she did. So what, Pastor Joe, what are you trying to... I'm trying to say that life can dish you some pretty ugly blows. But tonight you've got to know that through it all, it's going to be worth it all in the end. In fact, I'm sure of this, that 99% of the people who make it to heaven, once they make it to heaven looking back, they're going to say, man, I wish I did more. If I only knew this was what was awaiting me, I would have done so much more. I would have. Listen, guys, tonight you've got to know it's going to be any persecution you may face, any bad situation. It doesn't matter how life goes. Today, if you give it all, if you leave it all in the field, if you give it 100% for Jesus Christ, you've got to know today it's going to be worth it all. Every last ounce of your effort, every last ounce of your striving, every last ounce of all you've got, it's going to be worth it all. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 18, Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's not even worth... Hey, wait. This is the same Paul, shipwrecked, beaten with rods, whipped, stoned, kicked out, beat up, snake bitten, you name it, it happened to Paul. The same God, he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present... Listen, I don't know about you, but I hope I'm never snake-bitten. I hope I'm never stoned. I hope I'm never beat up and thrown out, whipped, beaten with rods. Nobody in here has faced stuff like that. And he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory, with the goodness of God, with what's going to be bestowed upon you and I when we finally stand before Jesus face to face. I love it so much. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen, guys, if you know what awaits you, then it doesn't matter what stands in your way. Listen, at the end of the day, playing soccer, it didn't matter if the ref blew a bad call. It didn't matter if there was some ugly trash talk. Somebody called me some ugly name. Somebody pulled my shirt. In the end, it was all about winning that final trophy. And in the end, if we won, it was worth it. Wouldn't you say it was worth putting up with a bad call, with the little cheating, with the smack talk to win the trophy? So with that, I want to close with this video. And I want you guys to know that regardless of what happens in life, whether it was right or wrong, whether you deserved it or not, if it was ugly, if it was not, listen, guys, don't allow that to be an excuse why you allow your why you give up, cave in, quit. No matter what circumstance, don't let it push you to the place where you stop giving God 100%. No, you get right back up, even if it's a mistake that you know. You knew going into it, I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't be going there, and then you did it anyway. You get back up again. You get back up again. You turn your eyes on Jesus, and you leave it all on the field of life. So that in the end, when the final whistle blows, history records, and you receive what God intended for you to receive. Watch this video. Amen. Hey, listen, the bottom line, guys, you give 100%, God gives you the victory every time. If you got something good from God's word, go ahead and give him a great big praise.